Now, how many do you really believe that God is good? God is amazing, amazingly good. And he's not amazingly good only because of the things that he does. How many of you believe that he is innately good? God is just good. And this series that we've been in the last couple of weeks called The Image of God is us diving into the nature of God and being encouraged to reflect that nature as his children. How many of you know that as parents, our kids catch what we have, right? How many of your kids have ever like picked up something from you that you did not want them to pick up from you, right? Or, you know, just the smallest thing, the things they say, some of the words they say, and we're all shocked, like, where did you learn that word from, right? But when we understand that the relational connection we have with our Heavenly Father is that spiritual paternal relationship with our Heavenly Father, we begin to reflect his nature. We begin to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, take on his nature and are able to begin to reflect his nature. And that's what the series that we're in, and this is our third week. The first week was reflecting his nature of generosity. And how many believe that God is a generous God? Absolutely, he's a generous God. If God is a generous God, then we need to be a generous people. And we're not just talking about the amount of money that you put into a church offering plate on a Sunday morning. We are talking about a lifestyle of generosity. A lifestyle of generosity. The church should be the most generous institution on the planet. This past week, the eldership team got together with a nonprofit organization that works with orphans and foster children called Olive Crest. And so we as a church are trying to kind of streamline and define our role as a church for orphans and for foster children. And how many of you know that that's a big thing to take on, right? It's a huge thing to take on. And there's many families in the life of our church who have stepped out in faith and taken on foster children and have adopted children. And we believe that's right after the heart of God, because God has a heart for the orphans. And so we can look at that and just begin to think like, wow, that's just too big of a task for us. That's too big of a task for the church. But if you think about it, widows and the orphans were the people the church has always supposed to be taking care of. Right? When the Apostle Paul was beginning his ministry, and if you know anything about the story between the Apostle Paul and the other 12 apostles, the Apostle Paul didn't walk with the original 12 apostles. He was commissioned by God through the power of the Holy Spirit aside from the original apostles. And so at one point in his ministry, he wanted to make sure that he was in line, his ministry was in line with what the apostles' ministry was doing, because they had walked with Jesus. They had talked with Jesus. They had seen Jesus do everything that he did while he was on the earth. And the thing, as he connected with them, that the apostles told him, they said, listen, everything that you are doing is in line with what Jesus Christ had instilled in us. But this is one thing we want to remind you of. Do not forget the widows and the orphans. This thing was on the heart of the church from the onset. And so why I'm speaking about this is because speaking about generosity and speaking about it's a lifestyle. It's not the amount of dollars that we fork out. It is a lifestyle of how we are willing to be a generous people with the resources that we have. Listen, and sometimes to a place where it hurts, right? If you think about it, most of us are generous in many ways, right? You think about your own life and you know, if there's a family member in need, there's a neighbor in need, your children need something. I mean, we'll pull the overtime, we'll pull side jobs, we'll rob Peter to pay Paul. I know some of you, no. Anyways, listen, we'll do whatever it takes to be generous to the things that we love. But listen, as a church, we need to begin to look beyond ourselves, beyond our own tent, and begin to think, man, how is God requiring us to be generous? And I'm not taking an offering right now, so don't worry about it. And then holiness, this thing of holiness, God says, I am holy, therefore be holy, Recognizing that we are set apart from God, and if we are set apart by God and for God, then our life should actually look like that. Right? When people are in our lives and looking at us from the outside looking in, there should be a thing about us that they have this thing like, man, they're different. Why is that person different? What is it about that person that's different? And you know what? Most of us don't flaunt around with a t-shirt that's saying, I am holy. But what we are saying, that word holy is to be set apart. We're set apart by God. We're set apart for God. And so we don't operate in the world like everyone else operates in the world. And we read that out of 1 Peter, that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation set apart as his very own possession, that we belong to God. We are tools in the Father's hand. Isn't that amazing to think that God wants to use us in those ways? And then today, I want to speak about faithfulness. And I think faithfulness is something that we can think of as in actions and we can think of as in doing. But how many of you know that there's a difference between doing faithful and being faithful? Yeah. Right? Doing faithful and being faithful. God is innately faithful. I wanted to share a testimony as we are all sharing testimonies. There's a verse in Genesis chapter 32, and it's really kind of one of the verses that I have grabbed a hold of in our story as Restoration LA, and really more specifically for me, a personal verse that relates to me, and this is just a bit of a testimony of what the Lord has done for us in the last 9 years. And thinking back to the beginning, when we transitioned Bella Vista into Restoration LA and celebrating all that God had done in the past and all of the faithful servants who had been in this place back to my great-grandparents' years and in the 30s and the 40s, building and cultivating here in East LA. And we are an extension of that. How many of you know that people have gone before us and people have worked before us? And as beautiful and as amazing as I believe Restoration LA is, we are not in and of ourselves set apart from anything that those people who have laid foundations in this place before us. Genesis chapter 39, verses 9 through 11 says this, "Then Jacob prayed." And if you remember Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And then Jacob was a usurper, right? Jacob was the way he actually stole his brother's birthright and didn't belong in the place that he belonged. And yet somehow God had showed him favor. And sometimes I feel like that. I don't think I stole anyone's inheritance, but there's times that I pinch myself because I just don't think I belong in the place that God has given me. But listen to this. "Then Jacob prayed, O God of my grandfather Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to your own land and to your relatives, and you promised me I will treat you kindly." And that's a bit of Vanessa's and my story when we came back to plant a church here in East LA. It was God saying, I'm going to send you back home, and I'm going to begin to do a work and the place that you guys once were, and I'm going to begin to restore the things that have been stolen from a community and from a faith community, and I'm going to be good to you. And it wasn't always easy. How many of you know sometimes stepping out in faith into the things that God calls us to is not easy? I'm the only one that knows it's not easy? How many of you know it's not easy, right? How many of you know it's not easy to make a life change when God calls you into being faithful? When God calls us into faithful living, it actually, listen, friends, it takes faith, right? And faith is believing in something that you cannot see with your natural eyes. When's the last time you made a step of faith? When's the last time that you made a step of faith where God's saying, I'm calling you out, I'm asking you to make a step of faith, and you, in obedience, walked out in faithfulness and say, Lord, I can't see it, but you've said it, so I'm going to do it. And I'm telling you, when Vanessa and I came out to plant, we couldn't see it. It was scary. We were fearful. And here's a bit of our testimony as well. You promised me that I will treat you kindly. I said, I'm not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness that you have shown me, your servant. When I left home and crossed the Jordan River, I owned nothing except a walking stick. And now my household fills two large camps. Isn't that amazing? When Vanessa and I planted wheat, we lost everything. It's crazy. And I'm not here to say anything about us. I'm here to talk to you about God's faithfulness. We lost everything. Both of our cars blew up. Both of them literally blew up. One, the engine rod shot up into the pistons and got shredded. The other ones, we had a Land Rover, and we blew the heads because it overheated. And if you know anything about Land Rovers, you can't fix those things. They're just too expensive. And then the housing market crashed in 2008 and 2009. We lost our home, no cars. We came with nothing. We had our kids and a walking stick. And I think of 9 years later, and God has been faithful. And I'm not even talking about earthly possessions. I'm talking about, listen, God is what God is building in this place and what God is doing in this place. And this is two large camps, and I know it's kind of prophetic. We've gone to two services and watching God doing something special in this place. And it's because of his faithfulness. But it takes people who will step out in faith, listen to this, to see the faithfulness of God. For this world to be able to see the faithfulness of God, it needs to be able to see faithful people living for God. For this world to know that God is good, it needs to be able to see people that are reflecting the goodness of God. I'm going to read a few verses, and I want you just to follow along. Psalm chapter 89, verse 8 says this, O Lord, God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as you, O Lord? You, listen to this, you are entirely faithful. How many of us have a revelation that God is entirely faithful? I think sometimes we think that God is kind of faithful. Or God is circumstantially faithful, right? Like when I'm good, then God's going to be good to me. How many of you, that God is entirely faithful? He's not partially faithful. He's not percentage-wise faithful. He is entirely faithful. And this is the thing that I want us to understand and grab a hold of. If God, our Heavenly Father, is entirely faithful, then could or should it be far-fetched to believe that his people, his kids, can be entirely faithful? Now, I know that sounds challenging, but this is what Christ is calling us into. This is what Christ is calling us into. As Scripture talks about us becoming transformed into the image of Christ, if we are going to be transformed into the image of Christ, who reflect, as we read last week, the very nature of God, then if God is entirely faithful, then shouldn't entire faithfulness be something that you and I are striving for? I think a lot of times we are really content with being partially faithful. I think we're really content with being, well, you know, I did my part, right? But entirely faithful, it requires, listen to this, a whole different level of faith, right? And I know when I speak about faithfulness, you and I might start getting stressed out because you think, oh, man, I got to do more for the church. I love the encouragement from Steve Sudworth a few weeks ago when he was here with us. It's not about doing more. It's about being more for our Heavenly Father. It's about being faithful. It's not about doing faithful. People can pretend and do faithful all day long. And this is what I mean by that. You tell them to show up and they do it, right? You tell them there's a meeting here, they show up and they do it. And I'm telling you, there's people who are trying to climb up the progressive ladder in churches all over America today just by the doing. And yet behind closed doors and in their own lives, they're not actually doing faithfulness. And so there's a big difference between doing faithfulness and being faithful. Being faithful to God. And I love someone's definition of faithful. It's being full of faith, right? And being full of faith requires a whole lot of us stepping out into the unknown, right? Look at your neighbor and say, when's the last time you stepped out into the unknown? And I'm not just talking about into the wrong neighborhood. Listen, Psalm chapter 100, verse 5 says this. Listen to this. For the Lord is good. If you guys want to memorize a verse, this is a wonderful verse to memorize. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues, how long? Forever. And his faithfulness, listen to this, his faithfulness continues to each generation. And I absolutely believe this, and I believe this because I'm a product of this. Your children are going to be a product of this. Your grandchildren are going to be a product of this. What was started by my great-grandparents and handed down to my father and handed down to me and now is being handed down to my children was God's faithfulness to the generations. And this is what God is about. His love is faithful, right? It continues forever. His faithfulness continues to each generation. Psalms 36:5 says it in this way. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens, right? Who was it that sang us this song? It was the guys who sang I Can Only Imagine. Mercy Me, right? They did a beautiful psalm off of this Psalm 36, right? Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. That's God's faithfulness. When's the last time you ran into a person like that? Someone's unfailing love for you was just overwhelming. Their faithfulness to you was like, man, I can't believe this. I've encountered people like this in my life whose love was beyond measure, whose faithfulness to me was overwhelming. And I'm telling you, when we encounter Christians like that in physical form, it is transforming for our world. It is transforming for our world when the love of God is reflected through a child of God on earth and people begin to know that what they are encountering through this person is actually the attributes of a good, faithful, holy, heavenly Father. Reflecting godly faithfulness is never easy. But through the Holy Spirit's power, we can reflect, listen to this, our Father's faithful nature. And I know it's like, man, I'm just trying to hold it together for today, right? Like, you don't understand. I'm just trying to get my act together today. But I'm telling you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I are able to reflect the Lord's faithful nature. Just think about this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. This is a popular passage of Scripture that talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And so what it's saying here, it's speaking about being filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to reflect God's nature. And here's some of the fruit that comes with being filled with the Spirit. Number one is love. Two is joy. Three is peace. Four is patience. Five is kindness. Six is goodness. And then listen to this. Seventh is faithfulness. Faithfulness. So someone who is filled with the Spirit of God begins to reflect these things. How many of you know Christians? Well, let me rephrase this. Let's just say this. How many of us are reflecting these attributes of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. These are things that we should be carrying in our spiritual arsenal. These are things that you and I should be able to tap into. Because listen, the very Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Holy Spirit that is alive in us, is the Holy Spirit that enables you and I to reflect the nature of God. It is not impossible to be a loving people here on this planet when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's not impossible for us to reflect joy. You just think about how many Christians do you know that are walking around with God's joy? It's not impossible for us to reflect peace. And I'm talking about that shalom peace, that peace with God and peace with man. And yet sometimes we are the most conflicted people on the planet. Patience. Man, I need the Holy Spirit on freeways. If you live in LA, you get tested in this area every day. And if you're habitually late, you get tested even more. Patience. I mean, I need to tap into the Lord. I'm serious. I do it like not figuratively, literally. Lord, please, I need patience, peace now. I invite the Holy Spirit into the driving situation because I need it. But we need to reflect that. We need to reflect that. Kindness. Kindness. How many of you know unkind Christians? Are they reflecting the nature of our Father? Goodness. I mean, I know that just sounds, doesn't that just sound like just too simple? But what do we tell our kids? Be good. Not just being mindful, be good. Be good to people. Be good to your friends. Use your manners, right? Be good. And then there's this thing, faithfulness. Faithfulness, a fruit of the Spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's a fruit that the Lord, listen, it's the fruit, it's like strawberries. You know, have you ever heard about like strawberries have like no calories? You can eat as many strawberries as you want. Isn't that just blow your mind? You're like, these things are so good, and I get to eat as many as I want, right? That's the fruits of the Spirit. You get to just eat as much as you want and don't have to stress out about it. I'm not eating strawberries, Gavin. I'm not. At least right now I'm not. I'm praying for strawberries. Strawberry fields, I'm dreaming about them. Anyways, faithfulness. Indulge. Indulge in the fruits of the Spirit. But listen to this. Yet somehow faithfulness to the Jesus follower has become less innate, and hear me, friends, and more circumstantial. A call to Jesus, we have to know, is a call to faithfulness. We have to know that because Jesus is faithful. And so we have to know when Jesus says, come and follow me, and come and take on all of my attributes and come and act like me, then we have to know that Jesus is calling us into faithfulness. And yet somehow faithfulness becomes less innate, less about being faithful and more about the circumstances that surround our ability to be faithful. Right? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, a proverb of Solomon. Solomon says this, and I'm going to read this one out of the King James Version. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Another version would say, everyone his own loyalty. But here's a question that Solomon writes. But a faithful man, who can find? But a faithful man, who can find? And when I think about that, I do believe that circumstantially, and I'm speaking of self, that to the right things, oh, we're faithful as can be. Just think about that. Think about the things in your life, I'll think about the things in my life, that we're faithful to. That requires, like, no question, that requires no, like, man, second thinking, like, should I be faithful to this? I mean, it is just innate in us. Think about it. What are some of those things for you? Mother to her child, right? I mean, naturally, you shouldn't have to, right, beg a mother to be faithful to their children. It's something innate in them, right? And when it's not innate in them, then that's like abnormal, correct? Right? The things that God would require, a husband being faithful to his wife, that should be innate, right? When you think about even things in our world today, right? People are just innately faithful to their careers and to their jobs. Boss calls you up. Hey, overtime tomorrow. I need you there. I'm there. No problem. Right? Kids need money for for rugby. Oh, I'm going to take on a second job. I want to make sure that my kid's able to play rugby. We'll take it all on. It's just innate. We don't second guess. We don't have questions about it. We'll just do it. It's just our faithfulness to the things that we are passionate about. What are you passionate about? What are the things that you are innately faithful to? Good things, right? I'm not questioning why you're faithful. I'm just saying there are things that we are innately faithful to. And what I want to encourage us today about is how do we get to be innately faithful in that way to God? How do we become faithful in that way to the things that God is asking us to be faithful to? Because there are some things that we are just mindlessly faithful to. I mean, I was sitting last night. I was at the LAFC game, and it was a great game. We won. It was awesome. And I give God and myself credit because I laid hands on the guy who scored the last goal. So it was awesome. Thanks, Judd. One of the guys on the team, he's amazing. So I messaged him and I said, "Hey, I'm laying hands on you from now on before every game because we need goals all the time." So I was sitting with friends and two Marine Corps buddies, and the last time we had been at a sporting event together, it was a lot different because it was a lot of things involved, but. It was a Raiders game, and it was a whole different season of our three lives, and us three men were innately faithful to the Raider Nation, and the things that we would do for the Raider Nation, out of some blind crazy loyalty, was like risking freedom and liberties. And some arrests were made at different points in our loyalties to, and it was weird and crazy, but you just think about how foolish, and you think about how blind we are in seasons of our lives to mindless things that we become passionate about. I mean, I would give up. I can't tell you how much resources and finances to get to AFC championship games to watch the Raiders pounce on the Patriots. That's right, Danny. Right? It was just this mindless faithfulness. We'd give up resources and time and energy. And listen, I would act in ways that were against the nature of God in my life. And for what? I was reminded just last night, I was sitting with these two other friends of mine. Men who now love God. Men who now are serving God. And no one got arrested, which was really awesome. And it was a picture to me of God's faithfulness. Of God's faithfulness. And how we can get there and sit there and enjoy a game and talk about the goodness of God. You know, former Marines. I think we're all still Raider fans. But we're Jesus followers, right? Jesus followers, people who are choosing, right, to chase after Jesus and not mindless things, right? Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? We must come to the revelation, listen to this, friends, that we can be faithful. We have to have a revelation. That means allowing God to reveal it to us, to shine it down on our hearts and sink it into our minds that we can be faithful. Just think about it. There's times when God is requiring things of us, and what's the first thing that we think? I can't do that. When are we going to allow the God of heaven to transform the way we think and the way that we see and view his calling into following him? And with God saying, I'm asking you to step out of the boat to where we get to a place with passion and with full faith and say, Jesus, if you've said it, I'm doing it. I can be faithful. I can be faithful. And I think one of the biggest things that people who are in churches and people who are trying to serve God and Jesus followers, the biggest thing that we fear is commitment. We fear commitment. God is calling us out of the boat. And here, to fear commitment is actually to fear faithfulness. Being committed to the things that God has called us to requires faithfulness. But it is not faithful to a thing. Listen, it's not a faithful to an institution. It's not a faithfulness to an organization. Friends, it is a faithfulness to who, not a what. And that who is Jesus. So how is your faithfulness to him? Take away the church, take away the ministry title, take away the organization you're serving or the ministry you're serving. Take that all away and think about it in this way. Who are you being faithful to? Even for those of us who serve here in the local church, sometimes it can just seem so task-ridden of, man, I got to go to do children's ministry again. And, oh, man, I got to show up on Saturday morning to clean the church. And, oh, I got to. And it's not about what. And it's not about where. It's about who. Who are we doing it for? Who are we doing it for? And I know it's not easy. It's not easy for me. I was sitting with Steve Sudworth at his church the other week when I was out there setting in some pastors. And we were sitting on the stage, and we were just reflecting on the service, and it was just amazing. And then he goes, oh, shoot. Oh, and he, like, started to panic. I'm like, what's going on? He goes, I'm supposed to be on the hospitality team right now. And I was like, what? Like, he's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be. He's like, you know, Deborah and I have put ourselves on the hospitality team because we want to model to our church what it looks like to serve. And I was like, well, that's awesome because I'm on the cleanup team at the church. And I forget sometimes, too. So I kind of felt justified in my forgetfulness. But there's times, even when we're serving in those things, when our humanity is like, what? I'm out here cleaning the church. We have like 150 other people in this place that can come and clean the church. It's not my faithfulness to you or even to this building. It's my faithfulness to Jesus. And that could seem like a very small thing, but listen, it gets bigger. It's your faithfulness to Jesus out in the world when you see those people who are hurting and lost. It's your faithfulness to those coworkers that God has been prompting in your heart to begin to minister to and talk to. It's your faithfulness to the call of God on your life. The beckoning of God to you to come and step out of the boat, right? Psalm 85 verse 8 says this, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people. What does God speak? Peace to his faithful people. But let them, listen to this friends, but let them not return to their foolish ways. And this is what I was thinking about as I was preparing this message. When I think of faithful living, I have come to recognize that the most peaceful seasons in my life have been faithful seasons. The most peaceful seasons in my life with God have been faithful seasons. And you know when this doesn't seem to add up for most of us is when we're more consumed with the doing than we are the being. Because I'm not talking about faithful seasons of, man, I was doing this, and I was doing home group, and I was doing children's ministry, and man, I was doing worship, and man, I was preaching. And I'm not talking about that faithfulness. That's the doing. I'm talking about my faithfulness to him, my faithfulness to Jesus. And when I'm faithful to my authentic relationship with Jesus, that's the most peaceful seasons of any person's life. Any child or daughter's life, you just think about it. We have five children. We recognize with our kids, their most peaceful seasons with us in our home is when they've received individual attention from their parents who love them. And we've had to make strides on their half days in school and take each one out separately and spend one-on-one time with them to get a Jamba Juice or a Starbucks and just sit there with them and listen to them and talk to them and love them. And then we just notice that there's a transformation in their relationship with us because they know they're connected. They know that we love them. And then they begin to demonstrate a peace like never before in our home. And I think about that for us is when I've been faithful to that, when I've been faithful to commit to my relationship with Jesus, when I've been faithful to commit myself to a loving, authentic relationship with Jesus, it's been the most peaceful seasons of my life. And right here it says this, what? I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people. How many of you desire peace? And yet sometimes I think we believe the lie that being faithful is going to become the most unpeaceful seasons of our life. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. We think that God's calling us into faithfulness. Well, God's calling me into busyness, and I'm as busy as it is, so I can't do that. God's not calling you into busyness. He's calling you into faithfulness. Seasons of conflict with God and with man have seemed to heighten during seasons, listen to this, of unfaithfulness and disobedience. Have you ever felt that way? That where I experience peace when I am not in conflict with God, when I am in constant communication, faithful to this authentic relationship, I experience this peace of God. And yet, when I am walking in seasons of disobedience or unfaithfulness, then I begin to experience what? Conflict with God and conflict with man. And it doesn't necessarily mean that God's up in heaven in conflict with me, but it's my spirit that's in conflict with him. Because I'm always thinking, man, is he angry with me? Is he ready to strike me down? Is he not happy with me? And it has nothing to do with his nature. It has everything to do with my nature. It has everything to do with me and knowing that I'm not in right standing with him. God is calling us into this kind of peace. And this kind of peace comes through faithful living. Faithfulness, and the definition of faithfulness in the dictionary is the quality of being faithful. Don't you hate when like the definition is like the word that is in the word? So then you got to find the other word to get that definition. So here's a definition of faithful: loyal, constant, steadfast. You know, one of the things that I love about this community that God has called us to is we have been called to serve a loyal people. Man, the people in our community, people in this neighborhood, these people we've been called to serve, they are the most loyal people on the planet. I mean, they are ride or die till the wheels fall off kind of people. And if we're ever going to reach them, I'm telling you, friends, we need to begin to demonstrate the same type of loyalty and ride or die passion that they have, although it may be misdirected to the things of God, because they want to know we're serious about it. They want to know that we're real about it. They want to know that if we're calling them into the boat to be on this ride, that we're not going to jump off the boat as soon as they get in. We should be the most faithful people on the planet. This is what people are looking for in leadership. This is what people are looking for those who are trying to lead them into something that God is calling them into. They want to look, you're calling me into something, right? You're declaring this faithfulness in your life. Let me see it. I want to see it. Loyal, constant, steadfast. Christianity is not about what you are faithful to. It's about whom you are faithful to. So being loyal, constant, and steadfast should look like this for us, friends. Loyal to Christ above all else. This is what being faithful is about. Is being loyal to Christ above all else. Just think about the conflicts we have in our lives. Think about how many times we have a coin toss about our lives and where Jesus is on one side and something else is on the other. How many times do we reach into our pocket to say, okay, we're going to see who wins today? You know when that gets settled in our life? Is when we absolutely just get rid of that coin and say, I'm not flipping coins anymore. I'm choosing Jesus. Or if you want to be cute about it, get a coin that has a two-sided Jesus coin. I'm always picking Jesus, loyal to Christ above all else. And I know that might seem impossible for us today, but I'm telling you, this is what Christ is calling us into. This is what discipleship looked like in the early church. They were loyal to Christ above all else. When Jesus said, come and follow me, they dropped everything they had. They dropped their livelihoods. They dropped their careers. Yes, they didn't abandon their families, but they had to separate themselves to follow Jesus to the call that he called them to, and each but one, according to most scholars, died a martyr's death. loyal to Christ above all else. And I know that seems far-fetched for us. I know that that's like, that's the dream, right? Where do we start? Where do you start? Here's my encouragement to you. Those things that the Lord has already been prompting in your heart, those things that God has already begun to speak into you about, hey, I would love you for you to serve here. Or, hey, I need you to communicate or minister to this person. Or, hey, I need you to change this thing in your life. It's not reflecting your faithfulness to me. I need you. It's those things that the Lord has been prompting you already. Those pings in your spirit that God has already been speaking to you about. Start there. Start there. Don't start in an area that you know, is not going to bear fruit. Start in the area that the Holy Spirit is already trying to cultivate in you. And it'd be different for each and every one of us. I can tell all of you, hey, well, you know what? Sign up for a ministry in the church, and then you'll begin to demonstrate faithfulness in other areas in your life. Start where the Holy Spirit is prompting you. And don't start tomorrow. Start today. Start today. There's a lot of people on diets that are starting tomorrow. Trust me, I live there a lot. We need to start today. Start today. You want to start seeing results? Start today. Loyalty to Christ above all else, right? Listen to this. Loyal to what he was loyal to. That word Christian is to be Christ-like. And if we're going to be Christ-like, then we need to be acting like Christ. And so we need to be loyal to what Jesus was loyal to. And here's some things. You guys can write these down as I land this. Loyal to the Father. Jesus said, I only do that which my Father in heaven does. Loyal to the Father. Faithful is loyalty, constant and steadfast for the Father. From the outside looking in, would people describe your life in that way? Man, that person is loyal to God. We need to get there, friends, and we can start today. Loyal to his church. And like I've already talked about, I'm not just talking about you coming in and sweeping and mopping. I'm talking about you being loyal to the body of Christ. You being loyal to that which Christ was loyal to, that which Christ gave his life for the church. Are you loyal to the church in that way? And again, I'm not even speaking about attendance, like, hey, we're making your attendance. You're not loyal. Loyal in your heart to his church, because I'm telling you, your attendance will reflect that. I want to be with the body of Christ. I want to be with the people of God. I'm a part of the body of Christ. And when I don't show up, the church looks a little disfigured. Each and every one of us carries a position in the body of Christ that's important. Each and every one of us are connected. And I'm telling you, when we say, hey, we're in, and then we begin to get connected, when you don't show up, it's felt. It's felt. And it's not felt like, they didn't show up again. It's not that. We miss you. And it's not just a Sunday thing. There's connection groups. There's us doing life. There's more life in the life of this church than men. And I, the thing that I've seen God's faithfulness is I'm watching God's people grow and connect together more and more. And it does, I mean, there's people like that are connecting and people being touched in the life of the church that I don't even know about. And to me, I'm like, wow, what a healthy sign of the church. That there's ministers and shepherds being released into this family, and you guys are caring for each other and caring for the community and touching people. And you know what? No one even has to know about it. What a healthy sign of the church. Committed to his, faithful to his church, loyal to his church. Listen to this one. Loyal to the sinner. Loyal to the sinner. Do you know that Jesus hung around with the sinners? Yesterday I was here and I was doing some cleanup and I was here alone, and there was a guy who came in into the church, and a guy from that I've known from the past who's struggled quite a bit in his life with a lot of the different things, and he seemed to be extremely in the thick of it. Addiction has grabbed him pretty hard, and his body is deteriorating. And I've known this man for a long time. I've known him at his healthiest. I've known him at his best. And to see how he's diminished, my heart was broken. But yesterday, as I was cleaning the church, everything inside of me wanted to shoo him away. Everything inside of me, I was cleaning the church. I mean, dude, I got something going on today. I don't got time for all this. You know, we've had this conversation before. And eventually, as the Holy Spirit was beginning to just ping my spirit and ping my spirit and ping my spirit, I had to put the vacuum down. I had to come and sit with him. And I had to be loyal to him in that moment. I had to remind him of the goodness of God. I had to remind him of the goodness of Jesus. I had to get off of my doing and start being. And I was able to pray for him. I was able to minister to him. I was able to love him. And I'm not saying this for him. I'm just telling you, friends, it's so easy, even for the pastor, to get caught up in the doing and not recognize that God is calling us to be faithful. Yes to the sinner. Yes to the person at 7-Eleven who's hitting you up for some change. Yes to the people at Walmart. Yes to the homeless person. And then lastly, beyond the sinner, to the least of these. To the least of these. The widows, the orphans, the poor, the sick. We get so caught up in the doing. We get so caught up, listen to this, even in our domestic life, that we fly by all of these people who are hurting and in need, and we're just on a mission to get where we're going and to do what we're doing, that we're missing the opportunities that God has given us to be faithful. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will stop you in your tracks and he'll tell you, stop. Stop and give that young man attention. You stop and you give that family attention. You stop and you pull out that last $30 in your pocket. You stop. And you be the church right now. You stop and you be faithful to the things that I've called you to be faithful to. Unquestionable loyalty. We have it in so many areas of our life. Can we tap into that same passion and give it to He who is worthy of it all?